So I'm just going to talk about general types of pretreatment units. These type just bubble air through that effluent. So you have the septic tank before this, sometimes called a trash tank. That'll separate out most of the solids from the liquids. And it goes into this aerobic treatment unit. And this is just adding air to the effluent. So those aerobic bugs, those energetic bugs, those ones that work faster, can start to treat that water before it even goes to the leach field. Another option is similar. We're adding oxygen, we're adding air to that effluent. This time we've given the bugs something to cling onto, some kind of media. Again, we're not adding the bugs, they're already there. We're just feeding them and giving them the oxygen, so it's those aerobic bugs that multiply. Another option, rather than bubble up air through the effluent, we want to get that effluent and the air together and give the bugs somewhere to live. Another option is to trickle it down, trickle the effluent down over these textile sheets, and then the bugs end up living on here. This is the one I think that you can imagine this as most similar, or perhaps the next one as well, as most similar to just replacing the soil. And this is really all it's doing. Instead of trickling it down through the aerated soil, we're just trickling it down over a textile. It's doing the same job as the soil. Same process happening. Okay, last alternative of these type of units, similar to the trickle effluent through the synthetic textile here, it's sort of trickling the effluent down through an organic material. Peat or coconut husks, similar idea. Oh, really?
Time for questions.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. So I'm just giving you a flavor of the different types of things. Rather than that gravel trench or gravel bags, there you could have a system like this that helps you reduce the area of your leach field. So instead of just relying on the holes between the gravel, you're spreading that effluent out over the whole of the infiltrated surface. A system like this, which is just providing, it's a drip system, a pressure dose drip system, just providing small doses of effluent through the, and there'll be more, you'll learn more about this this afternoon, so I don't really need to talk about this. One advantage of this is it can be relatively shallow, so you don't have that, the depth of that bed or that trench in there. We'll learn more about that this afternoon. Okay, right. So when is it time to get a new septic system? I'm not going to go into the details of the rules, and this is a different question to when do you need a permit, because the state requires a permit, say if you're just subdividing land, because we want to make sure if that land's being sold for development, you can actually get a septic system on there. So I'm thinking, when is it time to get a new septic system? And a couple of obvious answers to that. When it's failed. So here we have found a slide with a lake in it. There. This is when, you know, maybe that biomass has got too thick and too dense, and it's backed up to the surface. We can do tests as well. If there's an argument over whether this is just groundwater or whether it's effluent, we can actually put a fluorescent dye in the tank and see if it comes out to the surface. And there were some photographs of that as well I found online. They didn't have a label in the photograph. The other time is if you're adding to design flow. Remember that your septic system is based on the amount of, the size of it is based on the amount of water you're putting in there. So if you're building a new bedroom, you're going to have to bring that system up to scratch. I'm going to resist talking about older systems because there are grandfathered in systems in Vermont that permits are not required, I think Ernie will mention.
that.
So, come on,
I'm nearly there. I need an extra 5 minutes just so I can.
How do you know when a wastewater system has failed? I've been a bit cheeky here when I saw the poster for this conference. Okay, that's a failed system.
That wouldn't be permitted.
All that phosphorus going directly into the lake there, along with everything else. Okay.
When has it failed?
Well, there's some very specific definitions of when a system has failed in the rules. The effluent is exposed to the ground surface. We've already seen a picture of that. Hey, you know, we've got to think about it. If it's a 1 in 100 year storm, and there's no evidence that it's cloudy or smelly, it may just be the groundwater rather than effluents. But, I mean, generally we don't have an argument over this, I don't think. It's often pretty obvious that it's related to the leach field. But we can do tests to confirm that. Discharge to surface water, particularly relevant for lake pumps. Yeah, if you get it, come on. There we go. Get a straight pipe. Not allowed straight pipes. Straight pipes are not grandfathered in. They are failed systems. Anyone who knows any straight pipes around the lake, going straight into the lake, it's to our benefit for everyone to know about those. That would be a failed system, and that's one situation where you would need to replace it with a fully complying septic system. Backed up into the building, is anyone eating? I'd suggest you don't. You tend to know about this if this happens and want to do something about it. Okay, last topic. I'm just rounding out. You've got a failed system, you want to increase the design flow. You want to go from seasonal to all year round, which is an increase in design flow. You're going to need a designer, and there are some in this room now. So, who can design a new septic system? So, Vermont, we don't have a system of licensed installers to install your septic system. We do have a system of licensed designers, and they might be professional engineers who've done a little extra work to show that they know how to interpret the soils, figure out where the seasonal high water table is, figure out how much effluent they can get in the ground. We call those class one designers. They're pretty much authorized to design anything in the rules, anything that's allowed in Vermont. Class A designers, there's no pre-qualifications for taking this exam. You know, we had this exam a couple of weeks ago, I set this. They're authorized to design basic trench and bed systems. I'm just keeping it brief. Okay. I should probably say our kind of rules that deal with small systems go up to 6,500 gallons per day. Class 1 NPEs can design up to that size. Class A and B designers, it's up to 1,350 gallons per day. So that's probably most, you know, camps. That would be a pretty big camp. Class B designers are authorized to do most aspects of what can be designed. So they can use any of those, they can design in some of those pre-treatment units. They can use the pressurized systems. And there's just one or two things that Class B designers can't do that are left to the PEs. Store and dose, that just means if you're not, you know, you might be storing effluent for part of the year in order to dispose of it in another time. Just spread it out. High strength waste, businesses that are creating high strength waste, that has to be, you have to get a PE for that. So these are mainly about businesses rather than homeowners. And there is a slight variation on that. Class BW, it's an extra exam. You have to sit
if you're designing, if you're putting in a well for more than one single family residence. So in Vermont, kind of the attitude to the legislature, if you're a single family residence, it's kind of your business to replace that well. If it's if you're combining that with more than one residence, then there's a joint responsibility and liability there. So we ask for an extra test on that. And well, should I do the quiz or should we have questions?
I have a quick question.
Go ahead.
You had a slide up there that showed five or six different pathogens, one of them being E. coli. Why are we only testing E. coli?
Right, I'm not the best person to answer that question, and it's actually, I think it's just, it's relatively simple. It's not a guarantee that it's a problem, because there are, and there might be other people in this room that know more about this than I do, but it's actually only certain E. coli as well that can cause a problem.
I think the answer maybe is that it's easiest when the test for it. It's a marker for everything else.
Right.
Can we get a question, please?
Sorry, the question was, why is it that we only test, we're concerned, maybe it's water surfacing, we're concerned that it might be effluent. One of the common tests is just a test for E. coli, one particular bacteria. This is a bacteria that's known to be in the guts of mammals. But it's only certain E. coli that are pathogens that cause a problem. I hope I'm not speaking out of turn. So it helps to narrow it down, but it's not necessarily definitive.
I think the answer to that, I used to do microbiology work with the state lab, and it's an indicator of organism. So if you have E. coli, E. coli is considered an indicator of organism, so if there's E. coli in the water, it's a good indication that there's other harmful bacteria in the water as well. And as someone mentioned, it's also, they have a rapid test method now with the other types of total coliform and whatnot. It was a filtration method. So you can get total coliform and E. coli in a rapid test method that only costs $10. Results very quickly, and it's a fluorescent test, and it's a very
But it does require additional interpretation. It's from the guts of mammals, but is it human? Is it cows?
I mean, it doesn't really matter if it's in your water. It means there's surface contaminants getting into the water, so it doesn't matter whether you call it from.
Sure. Maybe we can have a chat. Yeah. Sure.
I'm wondering if you're on the enforcement end of this, and you're testing with fluorescent dye, how long typically do you have to wait between the time you...
So in 2.5 years, I haven't done that. So the question is, if you were to add a fluorescent dye to the septic tank, what sort of time scale would it take to surface? First of all, I would say, usually, we're not doing enforcement. Our program, we do what we can to work with the public to make sure that they have got a compliance system that's treating the groundwater. We've got to work, so we're not just going to go out there, find a failed system and prosecute, okay? We'll work with that person within a time scale to make sure that they can get a compliant system in there. So it doesn't happen very often, enforcement. From a hydrogeological point of view, okay, now, so I haven't actually done this, but groundwater, depending on the soils, the time could vary from, the time it takes, say, to go from your leach field to the lake could be hours, it could be months.
Usually, if you've got a failed system, though, it's going to be towards the lower end of that. So I don't know if Ernie's come in, if you've seen any of these fluorescent dye tests. I'd be surprised, you know, if it doesn't appear within, you know, within a relatively short time, within hours to days. Okay, let's see what everyone's learned. What are the challenges installing a septic system on a lakeshore? Again, this is a photograph I picked off the internet that one of the talks to realtors said it. Someone said, oh, I know that place. I think one of them has burned down or something since then. Anyway, you have to put a septic system here. What are the issues? Yeah, sure. Small lots.
Contaminating the groundwater.
Well, that's what we're trying to prevent, yeah, contaminating the groundwater, exactly. So these lots might be trying to fit a septic system on as well as a well. Okay, any other issues you can think of? What about the size of the water?
Getting a permit.
Potentially high design flows as well. Especially if we're now moving from, you know, people, you know, number of camps built 30 years ago or more, use seasonally, now looking to retire, maybe use them all year round, rent them out, Airbnb, it's making it much more easier to fit more people in here, flush more down the toilet. So we've heard it might be difficult to fit a system in here. Anything about the soils here you might see as a problem? I'm actually deaf in one ear, so I can't tell where the sound is coming from.
I'm sure it is groundwater.
Yeah, perhaps very shallow to groundwater. Remember, the reason he's in here is because of the lake. As a hydrologist, I think of surface water as just an outcrop of the groundwater. The water table joins onto the edge of the lake here and continues sort of uphill a little in here. So potentially not far, not a lot of aerobic soil to treat that. Yeah?
Ledge.
Ledge? As a geologist, I kind of cringe a bit at ledge. It's rock. Okay. It's a... Here's some rock. So again, some ledge, not a lot of soil above that. Our lakes are in valleys. The glacier scoured those valleys, potentially scoured the soil off them, just left bedrock. Or that those valleys may have filled up after the glaciers left with lakes. That lake sediment can be very fine grained, so that soil can be clay soil. We know about this in Addison County. Those silts and clays, very difficult to get water in the ground. Yeah?
I'm thinking that a lot of the site and the soil conditions are actually not immutable. Like through adding organic matter and such in the area soils, you can actually build topsoil like within one generation and make it more aerated and able to be able
That's a great point. And that's a huge movement in agriculture at the moment, looking after our soils. We've come to the realization that the way we manage our land is increasing soil erosion. And when we're thinking much, much more about putting the organic material back, allowing the soil to do its job. That's another issue I've just been teaching soil science. Whether we can do that, we actually are very cautious about creating soil for septic systems. You know, it has to be specifically designed. When we come across evidence that the soil has been altered by humans, we get worried about what's in there. So I'm not talking about, you know, if it's just fill material, you don't know what's in there. So the kind of that you're talking about creating a soil specifically for septic systems. And I'm thinking on my feet here. One thing I will say for septic systems, even just with sand, even without that organic material in, the bugs thrive. It doesn't take a lot of thickness, even just with natural sand. Some organic material would probably do even better. So let's see what I got down here, so we can wrap it up. Small lots, high density, short-term, high occupancy, trees and roots. Okay, no one mentioned the trees and roots, so now we're going to design a system around those. We don't want to just pull them out, because then you might create a fast pathway for that effluent to get into the water table and into your well. Shallow water table, thin soils, we've got those. Maybe low permeability, maybe we can't get water in the ground. Come on. There we go. Close to the lake. It's why we're there. It's an amenity, but we still got to get rid of that wastewater. We don't want to harm the amenity that we've come to be there for by getting rid of our waste. So very short travel times as well to the lake. Okay, how are we doing?
Gianna, people are asking for a permission for it. I'm going to do it right now.
Thanks so much, Grant. That was really informative, at least for me. I think I learned a ton about my own septic system.